Recording stopped.
So now you're going to have two Zoom videos.
I know. Two Zoom
and
videos.
And you're going to have two sets of...
You're telling me, Adam. I know.
By the way, goodbye, YouTube.
No, there's nobody else we're saying goodbye to. Although I might need to leave you for a moment and go tinkle, but the first thing I want to do is go set that video private.
Okay, do that.
Content live.
I had some switcher issues. I think my laptop might have died.
I know earlier you were earlier you said on your show, you said something about only like 16 people watched our video or something like that. Which is true. But I wanted to point this out to you because I know that you care about these things.
No, that was earlier tonight. I didn't say it on a show.
I know you care about these things.
Uh-huh.
Always take into account that the live, like if you go to our live tab, those are the actual records. So like 2 weeks ago, 25 people watched the stream while we were redoing it live. And those people aren't going to go back after I edit it and post it and watch. So add those numbers. And of course, this has nothing. The vast majority of our audience are audio only. Like the vast majority of our audience, we still have numbers over on Spotify. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're not losing. Yeah. We're not down to 11 viewers or whatever. We're just, YouTube is a new medium for us. And it's going to take a while.
It's a new medium.
It's going to take a while. Or maybe we'll just find out that it's not worth it and we've spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I just do that anyway. What do you think about this background?
I saw that earlier. Yeah, that's very Tron of you.
It's better than the clouds, I think.
I'm going to go tinkle.
Okay, do that. IGGY. Ugh. Oh, you know what I can do? I can do that. And then I can do that. Oh, that is a much better picture. Much better. So, Auntie Scott, how old are you going to be? 47. I'm 44. I'll be 45. Oh, 67. So I was 20 years off. Is it when you hit 60, is everything 60 fucking and then the number 60 fucking 7? So, I mean, what's it going to be when you're 70? Well, I suppose multiple things could happen in your 60s. You got to do, apparently Daniel says the way to prevent your dick from stopping working is do Kegel exercises. I do feel like I should incorporate yoga back into my routine.
Yoga?
Oh, yoga. Because as you get older, your balance gets weird. You know, you have, when you sit up, when you get up and down.
Oh, were you talking about Kegels? Because I see in the chat room there, it says my Kegel broke.
He said when you hit your 60s, your dick stops working. And I said, well, Daniel would say, if you do your Kegels,
yes,
it rejuvenates your...
Have you tried doing Kegels for just like a week?
No, I haven't.
Adam, I'm telling you, it's a life changer. I'm trying to
help
you.
It's a lot of work.
I'm trying to help you.
It hurts.
I'm trying to help you, Adam, because I went through the same thing. I saw the old hands come out of my jacket, you know, when I put on my sleeves on my jacket. I was like, I've seen my old hands. I've seen my old face. I know what you're going through because I went through it. And I'm trying to tell you now, I went to the whole point where, you know, it was hit or miss whether an orgasm would actually even feel good. You know what I'm saying? That's how low it had gotten at one point. And then, I started doing Kegel exercise and then suddenly it was like 1,000% change.
You should do an infomercial for Kegels.
I should do.
I feel like, yeah.
a Daihatsu Kegel, one of the most popular subcompacts. It's the Daihatsu Kegel, Adam. I'm just saying, Adam, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help. I know the road that you're about to go down.
It's a long and winding road.
It's a long and winding road. I don't know why I keep looking at the camera now. We're not recording video anymore.
We're not. I don't know.
Anything?
So I played a little bit of audio that's probably going to be on the USB 1 COM track.
Okay.
So I'm sending that over. If you will need to listen,
yes.
It's where I played the AI audio. The only problem is your voice might be on it as well.
Then just
I forgot.
Then
yeah.
Send me God, that was strong.
No, it's on that track. It's on the,
you have the original audio you could send me.
Oh, I could do that. I could just download it and put it in there if you want me to do that.
And then I could just sync that and then take out the.
Oh, which one did I play? Did I do this one?
What do you get when two gay friends.
Okay. Yes,
that is the one that you did.
I'll download that. It's called What Do You Get? Mm-hmm. Dot Wave.
I feel like, wow, I am so sorry. That just definitely went down the wrong way. I'm going to spawn up a new bot here. I would like to wish a very happy birthday to my friend who was born in what year were you born, Auntie Scott? In 1956. In order to do this, I need to know things that he might have experienced.
It could generate. You remember that list? Like this was this, and you know, on your birthday or whatever. This was right. The cost of bread.
Yeah.
This was the cost of a gallon of gas.
Remembering that bread used to cost a nickel. Okay, so it's starting now. It's starting. That's all I gave it so far. I'm going to refine it a little bit as we go along here. But
I'm also paying for ChatGPT.
Okay. Auntie Scott, did you know that Sputnik was launched in 1957, just right after you were born? You were 1 year old when Sputnik was launched. Let's see. Oh, you went through the popularization of rock and roll music with icons like Elvis Presley and the Beatles. So you were one of those rare, You were one of those rare people that grew up at the time that on the top 100, on the Billboard top 100 pop chart was both Pat Boone and Elvis. Like rock and roll was just starting to replace crooning or whatever. The civil rights movement, you witnessed that happen, the entire civil rights movement starting in 1963. The introduction of the Barbie doll in 1959, you were around for that. The Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, you were around for that. That's probably not so good. You probably don't want to remember that. But when in 1969, when Apollo 11 landed on the moon, Did you watch the moon landing on TV, Auntie Scott? I was two. So I'm sure I watched it on TV. I just don't remember watching it on TV. Yes, you watched it. So did you think it was a studio or you weren't like, you didn't have like relatives like Adams that would have been like, well, that ain't nothing but a big old fancy studio that they're jumping around in.
I wasn't yet born when this happened.
You know what? So what? It doesn't matter, Adam.
You haven't.
Can you imagine like living through these things, like the civil rights movement and, you know, Apollo 11 moon landing, just stuff that I read about and I've seen pictures about, but like they were there for that.
Yeah.
Like, what do I have? Waco? I remember I stayed home. I stayed home sick.
We were alive for COVID. We were also alive for 9/11. We were also alive for the Roe versus Wade getting reversed.
He was alive for the rise and death of disco music. Let's see, 80s, not very good after that. Whatever. Can you tell me what things cost when he was a child? Okay, it's going to depend on the location. So they're just hedging their bets there and going, hey, these prices are approximate. So in the late 50s and early 60s, these are the prices of what you would pay. A loaf of bread. How much do you think a loaf of bread, Adam?
5 cents.
A nickel. You know, I gave that as an example earlier. Adam, that's... No, it wasn't a nickel. 20 cents.
Oh, 20. Cents. Wow. Okay.
I mean, this is early 60s, right? 62. You know, I would like... What would you say? Late 50s, I would assume anywhere from like 57 to 62 or 3, right? Somewhere in that range. Late 50s to early 60s. A gallon of milk. How much do you think a gallon of milk cost, Adam?
I mean, it has to be around the same, maybe 15 cents.
For a gallon of milk?
Yeah.
What does a gallon of milk cost now, Adam? Do you know?
I don't really know. But they, $3, $4? Maybe.
I have no idea.
I don't know how much a gallon of milk
costs.
$6? I mean, it also depends on where you are, because in California, it's probably like $50 or something. But, you know, because they have a California tax. But here, where things are priced normally,
a dollar.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot more expensive than the bread.
You can get 5 loaves of bread for a gallon of milk.
Because I think I've always thought of a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread being around the same price. I could be wrong, but I feel like they're close to the same price.
Lamont Cranston says we are as out of touch as a president. Don't you buy milk?
I actually,
you know what? No, I was going to say we don't buy milk here. I buy half and half, and Zach buys oat milk or almond milk or you know one of the. Whatever, nut juice, whatever the, not real milk, like, a nut milk.
Occasionally, I buy milk, but the problem with milk is I will need 2 tablespoons of milk or something, like for some recipe. I do not drink milk. Yeah. I cannot keep cereal in the house because I will eat it constantly. So I don't. Because if I have cereal, and I put sugar on it, it's not good. It's not healthy. So anyway, I buy it occasionally, but I couldn't tell you what anything costs.
I know.
Anything that I buy. I mean, I go to the grocery store and I just get what I.
I know.
But I don't know what the individual items cost. I know what I spend every 2 weeks.
Right,
I mean,
exactly. Like when we shop for lunch every week, it's going to be between $80 and $100, right? Because we're buying sodas and meat for the week and yogurt for the week and cheese, you know what I'm saying? And bread. And so it's like, it's going to be, you know, depending on what we're out of, it's going to be anywhere from $80 to $120 bucks a week for lunch. But I have no idea what individual things cost. I just buy them. Oh my God, Adam, we're just horrible. We're horrible people. Do you know how much
that makes us horrible just because we...
How much a first class postage stamp, speaking of horrible people, do you know how much a first class postage stamp cost in the late 50s, early 60s?
A first class, what does it cost now?
I don't know.
40, who mails stuff anymore? I don't know. Oh, I'm being told by Lamont Cranston in my ear, 63 cents.
Yeah, okay.
What did it cost then? A nickel. A penny. A nickel. I don't know.
I will tell you this. It is between a nickel and a penny.
3 cents.
3 to 4 cents, yes. Was that first class postage stamp? How much do you think a movie ticket was? Now, Auntie Scott should know this. How much was a movie ticket in the late 50s, early 60s? They're talking about S&H green stamps, which my grandmother also used to collect, and I used to help glue them into those fucking books to try to get those cheesy-ass prizes. It's like, where was it that I talked about it the other day? It's like, I feel like Dave and Buster's is the old S&H green stamp. But you just have to play video games for tickets, right? It's like, it's the same shitty prizes.
What am I hearing right now? Are you playing something?
No, I'm not. There's nothing playing anywhere. I'm like, I'm hearing nothing.
I'm playing something. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, a movie ticket anywhere from 50 to 70 cents. So, a hamburger. How much do you think a hamburger was?
Oh, I want a hamburger. I'm having a hamburger tomorrow. I've been dying for a hamburger.
Dying.
It depends on the hamburger. If you were to say a McDonald's hamburger.
Yeah. Just make a guess.
There's a range.
They didn't have gourmet burgers back then. It was basically a diner burger.
I think hamburgers were, let's say, 15 cents.
You're good, right? Between 15 and 25 cents. 15 to 25 cents for the hamburger. There you go, Adam. You got that exactly. How much do you think a new car was?
Oh, a new car was probably about $800. No?
No, Adam. A new car was between $2,000 and $3,000.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's when they first came out, the Model T.
Yeah, yeah. This was not a 1915. We're in the late 50s, Adam. We're several decades past the original Model Ts. How much do you think an average house price was in the late 50s, early 60s?
Well, let me think about this for a second. Okay. If a car was a couple of thousand.
Yeah. Do you know what the average house prices are today? What is the average?
I would say average would be like $225,000.
The median home price in the United States is $428,700.
Oh. Okay. $400,000. So
1959 to 1960. What was the average?
But it was a lot less, like $20,000.
You can't be looking at this because it's...
No.
That is the upper end of it. Yeah, so between $12,000 and $20,000 for a house.
Okay. No, I'm not looking at anything. I just...
What else would you like to know about when Auntie Scott... You know what? Here's a question for it.
How much did bacon cost?
Much did bacon cost? In the late 50s and early 60s, the price of the bacon was approximately 60 to 70 cents per pound.
Okay.
All right. So now we know that we're talking about things in the late 50s, early 60s. Let's ask some questions here about what should we ask, Adam? I don't know. I don't know. What would I ask Auntie Scott? What would you think that a child first movie would be? I don't know if you'll understand that.
Eisenhower was the president.
Yeah, Man of Steel. Lady and the Tramp. Lady and a Tramp was I'm wondering what the first movie that Auntie Scott saw that he remembered in the late 50s, early 60s. So like when you're a child, the first movie you remember going to, was it any of these? Was it Lady and the Tramp? Was it Sleeping Beauty? 101 Dalmatians? The Absent-Minded Professor? I remember that one. Mary Poppins? Sound of Music, The Jungle Book, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Love Bug, or The Aristocats? Mary Poppins. Oh, 101. So he remembers 101 and Mary Poppins. So 101 Dalmatians came out in 1961.
The movie that won the Academy Award for Best Picture the year Auntie Scott was born,
yeah,
was Around the World in 80 Days.
Wow.
It's based on the Jules Verne novel. It tells the story of Phileas Fogg, an English gentleman who attempts to circumnavigate the world in 80 days on a wager.
The world population when he was born was 2.8 billion people.
Oh.
2.8 billion people was the world population in 1956. Do you know what it was in 2021?
More than that?
7.9 billion? 7.8 billion.
No.
So almost 8 billion. So almost four times. No, well, he was at almost 3 billion, and right now we're at almost 8 billion. So more than double. So like, what, 2.5 times the population over his lifetime?
I wonder if he feels it. You know, like my mom, she, you know, they moved into this house when our area was not as growing as it is right now, or, you know, as booming. And now everything is being built all around. And she's like, oh, it's getting so busy, like traffic's getting busy, blah, blah, blah. There's all these businesses going up all over the place. I wish it was like it was, you know, when we first moved here or whatever. So I wonder if number of people is noticeable to Auntie Scott, like, you know, back in the day.
Like, I feel like I noticed that. Like,
on a cruise ship, we weren't packed like sardines.
So what was the world population in, let's just say in 19, like when I would be going out and noticing things, let's say like 1980, like in 1980, what was the world population? So already in 1980, the world population was 4.42 billion, and now it's 7.8. Oh my god, Auntie Scott. And now it's 8. So it's like it's almost double from when I was young. I mean, I've noticed that things are way more crowded now. Auntie Scott says, back when Negroes knew their place. Auntie Scott. I have nothing to say with that. I don't have a joke to make. And Adam is just off, leaving me hanging here. Hello?
I thought I had a tab open that I wanted to read something off of, but I don't.
I feel like this Archer thing is a...
About his audio?
Yes.
What? Why are you still going on about this? Like,
because he's...
Does it matter?
It does.
Does it matter?
It does, Adam. It does.
What is that going to impact it at all?
Me. It's going to impact my psyche, my...
You just have to be right?
Yeah. About audio things, I have to be like, no, I can hear that. I can hear the thing that is happening. Just like you hear
except
ADR.
For earlier when you blamed my mixer and it was your mixer.
Well, I couldn't hear it. In fairness, I couldn't hear it. My point is that I was trying to make is the Oreo bag. It's just a really loud Oreo bag is what it is. Who's your favorite of the survivors? We're transitioning now to as of this week, with the person leaving this week, there are now 8?
Something like that. It was either 8 before or 8. By the way, I always tell Mark when the family letters happen and they cry.
Yeah.
I always tell him, don't expect me, if I'm ever on Survivor, to cry when I read your letter.
But you won't even try out.
Look, I've been there for 20 days. You and I have been away from each other long.
Not
plenty
even,
of times.
Yeah. Not even 20 days.
Not even. And, you know, I think I can go. You're not dead. I'm not dying that I know of.
And if something bad did happen, they would tell, they would pull you out like you've seen in the past, where like they'll give you information, like if, you know, your grandmother is dying.
Yeah.
You know.
So why am I crying? Like, I'm not going to cry. I'm just telling you, if you are at home, boyfie, if you are at home watching Survivor and I am on there, of course, I'll already be back home. So I guess I'll be watching it with you.
Yeah.
Don't, when we get to that scene. Do not expect it.
But you know what I think it is?
They're so tired and
amused. Yeah. Because like I told you, when I ran across the finish line, I was fighting to not just start blubbering. It's just like it was welling up inside me. I could feel the emotion just like welling up inside me, like I was going to, you know, like cry. And it's like, it was 6 point. I'd already run a 10K before in training, so there's nothing's new here other than this is the actual course, right? So, you know, yeah, I should be happy, but I shouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm about to, just break down and cry and stuff. And I really do think it's lack of sleep and adrenaline and, you know, you're out on an island. You have nothing to do except talk to your fellow castaways most of the time. It's hot. It's humid. It's sticky.
I think I'd make up some games. You could probably play chess. You could either like,
but
you could carve little wood.
How many hours a day? Many hours a day is chess going to distract you?
A long time. Chess is a very very broad game, Daniel. Okay. There's a lot of. You could even play Go. Have you ever played Go? Is literally just a grid and stones.
Yes, grid and stones.
And there are people who spend their whole lives.
It takes a minute to learn, but a lifetime to master.
You know, the other thing I was going to say about Survivor before you continue with what you were going to ask me about the most recent episode or something.
Yes, I am.
Is, you know, the one, do you know, can you guess the one thing that they cannot take with them that I don't think I could live without?
Toothbrush.
Yes. Yeah. I would die.
That's why they're always chewing on twigs, because they like, they fray the twigs and then they use those as toothbrushes. Oh. Here's the thing, Adam. There's 8 survivors left, but I'm still at that point in the game where like 2 of them probably are just filler. Like, I don't even know their name. Like, I'm trying to think now. Like, I can tell you, like, having not watched, like, I just watched it 2 days ago. So, having not watched anything about Survivor for 2 days, I can tell you the following players' names: Carolyn, Jam Jam,
the crazy one, right? The gay one.
Yeah. Jam Jam, Carson,
the twink,
Danny.
The muscle guy who everybody wants to go home.
Is there a Heidi?
There is, but you know what that makes me think of?
What?
The song that you sang about the female lesbian show.
Yeah.
Oh, and Heidi.
And Heidi. Yeah, no, I that's it. I couldn't tell you the other players' names. I have no idea. It's like, they're so off my radar.
There's a Hannah or a, like a, no, maybe not a Felicity. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure their names. I feel like that's the final four. I feel like the final four is Jam Jam, Carson, Carolyn, and Danny. I feel like that's the final four because those are the four out there that I know at this point in the game. I mean,
it could be.
Yeah. Because you want to root for people, right? So he's like, you want to be acquainted with your final four. So I feel like those are the final, I could be wrong.
Carolyn's going to be the one that they take with her because they know that she hasn't earned a win.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to drag her with them. Also, because she's kind of crazy. And so.
She is crazy. Also, Carson so royally screwed up this week. his game, he says his game is mostly relationship wise. And yet then he's like, oh, I can't. Then Carolyn's going to be really upset at me and she's not going to want to do it. It's like, yeah, but you still talk about it, Carson. You still talk about it. You still go up and you talk to her about it. Because as it turned out, she wasn't wanting Danny. She wanted somebody else entirely. Like she wasn't like telling Carson, like, I'm going to do Danny or I'll die. She was like, how about if we got rid of Heidi or something? It's like she had another name than them. And it's like, if your game is about personal relationships, you should not have... You should have let Carolyn... It doesn't matter which one of them goes because you guys are playing the middle. It's like, you're the middle team. The three of them are the middle team. So they're just trying to eliminate the other two teams and then suddenly they're the majority, right? So, yeah, if that's your plan, then just go with... It doesn't matter which one you go with. Just go with whatever Carolyn wants.
I think she'll be taken along because...
I agree with Carolyn, though. Danny needs to go.
Oh, I think Danny needs to go as well. Or I want him to go, but you know, I'm never a fan of those alpha males anyway. So, which I see him as one. So I'm not a fan of those. I tell you what would.
I like Franny. I remembered Franny's name, but she just went home.
She won too many times.
She won twice. Oh my God.
Four times.
No, twice. Here is two immunities.
Immunity, but no, she won other things. I think she had won four times across reward and immunity.
She's like, guys, these are random how they are. It's like, so what? So I went to, that doesn't mean I'm going to win. It's like past performance does not in
yeah, but you always challenge. If you get too strong, if you appear too strong, that's when you start getting,
I know, but out. My argument, if I was one of those people that was caught, it's like, guys, look, the two things that I won immunity on were both water challenges. I'm just really good in water. It's like, but they don't do that many water challenges every year, so it's like the chances of every challenge between now and then being a water challenge is pretty null. So just whatever. So I won two immunity. It doesn't mean I'm ever going to win another.
Win water challenges.
Also, Adam, I don't have an immunity. You know, funny story. I gave
she won one of those balance ones that wasn't in the
actually,
water.
Actually, you know what? But no, that could be the thing. The ones that she has won were both balance things. It's like, here's the thing. The things that I won were just endurance challenges, just balanced, you know, things. It's like, all right, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to win an outright race. I'm not going to win a puzzle challenge or something like
that. I mean, I see that as your only argument, but I'm not sure that
she should have made it. She should have made it. But here's the thing. What's her name with the fucking Oreo. I read the chat room when I was looking. The fucking immunity necklace. She could not wait to tell everybody, you know what? I gave my immunity necklace to that guy that just went home and he went home with it. So I don't have it anymore. Ah, yeah. But I used to have it, but I don't have it anymore.
Well, you know, and do you know that you realize that immunity necklace that she had was fake?
Yeah.
She never knew it was a fake.
She didn't. And the person that made it, the person that made it a fake has already been voted out of the game. So there's no one on the island that knew it was a fake. None of the castaways knew it was a fake except for the person that was, you know, that made it and was sent home. So I'm very curious as to how she's going to react, you know, watching this show back when she realizes that, oh, it was even a fake immunity. But I feel like it's not as big of a deal now because she never ended up using it. But here's my point. My point is she just so overplayed her hand. Like, she did everything you would expect a liar to do, right? Like a child that knocks a vase over and breaks it or whatever, who like immediately meets you at the door and says, I heard a vase fall onto the ground when I was in the other room and it was nowhere near it. I heard that sound and I went over there and I went, oh my God, that vase is on the floor. I can't believe that. So I feel, well, Auntie Scott, we're no longer talking about you because I don't know what, like, I'm trying to engage in a conversation with you as a contemporary. So I'm asking AI to help me. But you're not responding to me too much. So I can't have this conversation. So I'm assuming you're, you know, just like one of those older men that's just like, like, you know, like, do you know how, like on a cruise ship, you sit next to somebody and you're like, hey, how you doing? You enjoying your cruise so far? Yeah, we are. So did you see the show last night? Like that was in here because it was really good. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And it's just like, and you eventually you're just like, oh, okay, they clearly don't want to talk to me. You have no fucking idea what we're talking about. I know, Auntie Scott. Wait, do I have Auntie Scott on Zoom?
I don't know.
I can send him a link. Hold on, I can send him a link. Auntie Scott, so we can wish you a happy birthday. Let me send you a link. Right there, I'll email it to you.
He may be cooking.
Yeah, I know. He could be.
I believe he is cooking.
He could be cooking.
So.
You know, I was at his house. I had his food.
Beef stroganoff.
It was really good. I know he thinks that I'm just like pulling his chain on that, but it was really good. I've thought about that beef stroganoff more than once. Just like going like, yep, it was such a thing because my mom used to make it. It was such except she put it on toast. We've talked about this, but,
wait, beef stroganoff on toast. Or are you talking about,
oh my God, if you say shit on a shingle, I'm going to slap you. No, my mother made beef stroganoff, but instead of egg noodles, she put it on toast.
Oh, so not pasta and toast.
Right. No. Instead of the egg noodles, she put it on toast.
But that's basically chipped beef, right? I mean, it's basically, it's very similar.
I don't know that I've ever had chipped beef. I feel
like beef in a gravy. Well, I've never had chipped beef either.
All right, so beef stroganoff has a gravy, but it has cream cheese in it. Like it's a very creamy, mushroomy.
Yeah.
I think it's mushroom. Anyway, it's really good.
Yeah.
Sour cream. Sour cream. It's very good.
You know, I have found, so I've been using Greek yogurt, 99% fat-free, or maybe it's fat-free, Greek yogurt for some things, because it's 0 points on my Weight Watchers plan. And it really does a good job of taking the place of sour cream. So, there's your tip of the day. Well, because
it's weird. It's weird to me. It is weird. It's weird to me that you're.
Oh no, we're not going to go into this again, are we?
What do you think I'm about to go into?
You're going to say, I don't understand how Weight Watchers allows you to eat blah blah blah, and you can eat so much of it. There's no way that could possibly work because, I mean, it's just.
Totally. You're reading way more into it than I was. Just saying, I find it interesting that they're different, the differences, right? So like I was running the other day and I heard you say something about like you had either a chicken or something where you peeled the skin off of it.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, yeah, but on keto, I just would have eaten the skin.
I know. I
would have eaten
the skin.
Yeah, it's like,
I understand.
I just find it funny. I'm not judging your diet. You know what? Everybody's metabolism is personal to them. Everyone's metabolism is slightly different and it responds in different ways to different things. You know, I found what works for me and I'm very happy with that.
No, and keto also works for me, but I am miserable on keto. Like I need carbs.
No, you want carbs.
I want carbs and I don't want to be in that much misery. Like you love meat enough that it's not miserable for you and fat and all those things and the cheese and all the stuff that you like.
Oh, I love cheese.
Whereas me,
give me a charcuterie.
I want a potato chip. I want bread. Like I want a sandwich. I want, you know, rice with things. I want pasta. I want potatoes, like all of that kind of stuff. And so I need something that's going to allow me to have, you know, it may be. Now, I will say this. I think part of Weight Watchers is a little bit low carb because any kind of breads or starches are much more points.
Yeah.
Many, many, many more points, except for fruit. Fruit is not included in that, but because it has a lot of sugar. But like any starchy, sugary kind of thing, bread, anything like that is a huge amount of points.
So I'm glad to see that you have Saturdays as a cheat day also.
I do, yeah.
So that makes it easy. So I talked to Zach about the December 2nd race.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't made any decisions yet because we need to look at airfare and...
Mark hasn't decided yet either, yeah. So that's good.
So I'm going to say, let's just not count on that.
Okay. That's fine. It wouldn't be me anyway. And I think Mark's thing is like...
But we could do...
A run here yeah. is not going to be fun like Disney or something.
Why?
It's going to be some lame ass.
I feel like Mark and Zach and I will run a 5K in Taunty Town. It will be your job to get a marching band, a chorus, the church choir, the church orchestra. Yeah. Just pretend like you're a marching band. The marching band didn't actually march. They were just playing... marching band songs, right? So it's like your orchestra could just stand there in...
I think all of the members of my orchestra are either currently band directors or were in marching band at some point in their life.
So they could stand on the side of the road and play thing. Plus, you could do it in that park. So we just go by the same band multiple times. Like, you know, it could be like, they could just change outfits as we run past. But I feel like, you should organize the Adam Burns...
Did it say Memorial Park? Is that what it said?
What?
Did it say Memorial Park? Was that the...
Did what say Memorial Park? I'm
sorry. The Frosty 5K, the event.
I don't remember. You read it to me. I just knew it was on December 2nd.
Right, I'm sorry. It's the Freedom Frosty 5K. Did I even... I think I dropped the Freedom.
You must have, Adam. You know, because you're a damn lib, and you don't love Freedom.
It's... where does it say it is?
The Whataburger 5K.
I can't believe this.
Oh, my God. If... Adam. If,
oh, no. Lawrence Plaza Ice Rink. That's in Bentonville Square. Okay,
Adam,
sorry,
if the Whataburger was only 3.2 miles from your house, 3.1 miles from your house, then we could do the Taunty Town Whataburger 5K. We could like start at your driveway and run to Whataburger, and you could meet us there, you know, with the big finish line, whatever, when we come into to Whataburger and have our...
I think we're having Whataburger for dinner tomorrow night because that is my promotion meal, celebratory promotion meal.
And actually, we don't... I know. Zach and I are running 10K. So you could live up to 6.2 miles away from the Whataburger, and it could be the Taunty Town Whataburger 10K.
Well, but I think what we're going to do so that I can have the best experience possible.
The best.
Is go into the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because the food is hit or miss in the drive through, and by the time you get home, it's cold and you know, not as good.
I'm saying you are not, you know, you're a people pleaser. You're not the guy you don't have the drive through fortitude, Adam. When I go through a drive through, the very first thing they do when they hand me that sealed bag is I rip it open and make sure that everything I ordered is in the bag. Like everything that I ordered, all the sides.
I mean, I do that, but I feel pressured if there are people behind me because I know they're waiting and they're like, oh, what's he doing?
Nope, they can drive around me. There's like little parking spaces that they can go off to. But I make sure every single thing I ordered is in there. And I have been known before I had an air fryer. Oh, by the way, we should talk about the air fryer. But before I had an air fryer, I would get, if the fries were like obviously like stupid, soggy and gross, I would be like, these are unacceptable. It's like you need to make some.
Well, Wendy's, you know, Wendy's actually has a sign now because they have these new fries that they've specially formulated to be crispy for longer or whatever.
Yeah.
They actually are crispier, I will say this. But they have a sign on their drive-thru window that says, if our fries are unacceptable in any way, let us know, or something like that.
Too
let us
bad.
Know. We will make you brand new fries. So they actually have a sign on their window.
I had an air fryer. It was a Kasori. Do you know that name, Kasori?
No, I don't. But I know what an air fryer is.
Yeah, so I had this air fryer. It was the Kasori air fryer. It was very nice. It was a YouTube guy that I followed that was big into air frying chef stuff and whatever. I absolutely positively loved the air fryer for French fries. Like that was the number one use of it is on cheat day.
Reheating them as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, on cheat day, which is whatever we ordered when we brought it home, I would recook their fries and make them crispy again. And so I absolutely loved it. Anyway, I got a recall notice because apparently these air fryers just explode at them. They just explode.
They're dangerous.
So they, this is the recall. They basically say, hey, and I bought it on Amazon. So Amazon sent me an email and said, hey, there's a recall on something that you have. Click here and see the thing. And so I do. And they tell you, it's like, we need you to.
Daniel, that's really a phishing scam. Did you click the link? Because
I did. You've been I did. And anyway, so I went over there and it's like the whole reason, they're like, okay, we need you to take your air fryer and an index card. And then the serial number that's written really small on the bottom of your air fryer, you need to write that big on the index card. And then you're going to take three or four, three different pictures of your air fryer from these specific angles. And you have to have you have to have the index card in the picture so that we can read the serial number. And you have to cut the electrical cord, and the pictures have to include the fact that the electrical cord is clearly cut.
It's like a hostage video or something.
So I do this, right? I do this. I cut the cord. I photo it. I upload the photos and everything. And then I had to manually type in the serial number. And as soon as I did that, it said, we're sorry. The serial number you put in has already been claimed. Call our voice number between these times, 2 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. On Tuesdays. So I waited and I called.
And you'd already cut the cord?
Yes.
At that point.
So I called. I called on a Tuesday at this prescribed time and I waited on hold forever. And when I finally talked to someone, I'm like, all right, on the website, I typed in the serial number and it says it's already been claimed, but this is my air fryer. Nobody else should have claimed it. Like, this is my air fryer. And I have receipts, whatever you need to see. And they're like, oh, yeah, just put an A after the end of it. Just put an A on the end of it and it will it'll go through. And so I'm like, all right, let me try this while you're on the phone. And I went, then I put an A because it saved my values. I went and I put an A at the end of it and I hit submit and it went, okay, thank you. So I'm like, oh, thank you very much. That thing. And then 4 days later, I get an email going,
you went through a lot of work.
Hold on. I'm not done. The 4 days later, I get an email from them going, we're denying your refund request because the serial number that you wrote, that you entered, doesn't match the serial number that's in the picture. And so I basically click here to edit your entry. So I went back to the entry and I looked at it and everything. And I backspaced over the A and hit submit and it took it.
Huh.
And then 5 days later, I get an email that's like, your recall registration has been approved. We have good news. Your recall registration has been approved. We are currently preparing your replacement product for shipment. Your replacement party will likely arrive within the next 2 to 3 weeks, but please allow at least 3 weeks for the tracking information to become available.
This is screwed up.
And note that certain replacement products have a ship time of 8+ weeks.
Okay.
So this came in on March 22nd. So clearly I'm not within the 2 to 3 week refund.
Oh, wow. You still haven't gotten the new air fryer.
I have not gotten my replacement air fryer, since March 22nd.
Have you checked with them to see a status or?
I should do that now because it's been
forgot you.
No. It says you can view your original. It's been more than 3 weeks. Log in by using your registered email registration number. Don't know my fucking registration number. Okay. Let's see. Today is Friday, May 5th, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geeky Gay. This is the show where I talk about my life 5 days a week, and you listen. And today is no different. I feel like Did you put a period after today is no different?
Yeah, I think so.
Because why did he end it on an up? And today is no different. Different? Like it was...
I don't know. Ask him.
No, I'm saying, but if you put a period after it, it should have gone down.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And in fact, I said, and today, capital is, but I don't think it read it that way. No different. Period.
So the reason I can't check it is because I don't have a Kasori registration. I am going through so many stupid hoops on this fucking thing. You know what? It's just going to be a surprise. If it shows up, Adam, it's going to be a surprise. Just a total surprise. If it doesn't, at least in the meantime, when we bought our new induction range, it came with a convection oven. So we have, you know, our oven is a convection oven now, so we can do the same thing with French fries in the convection oven. Like there's no difference between an air fryer and a convection oven.
It's true.
Other than the volume of air, right? So an air fryer takes a lot less time to heat up because it's a lot less volume, right? Instead of the entire fucking cavernous oven having to get up to 400 degrees or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, my point is...
Yeah, my oven has a convection setting, so...
Yeah.
As well.
Do you do that thing? Because, like, you know, we cook our meals every night. We have those recipes that say... And then what they tell you is, like, if you're going to use the convection feature, then you lower the temperature by 25 degrees...
I don't really use the convection. I just do bake and broil. Like I'm a simple girl.
No, but I'm saying if it says bake at 400 for 22 minutes, then you could convection bake it at 375 for that 22 minutes and it would have the same effect. So it's, in other words, they just tell you like you can keep the time the same, just lower the temperature by 25 degrees.
Yeah. I don't use a lot of recipes when I'm cooking, and also I just do the normal bake.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether we want to get off of this.
Hello, my name is Daniel and I'm calling about
the fryer recall. Can you let me know when a new fryer will be shipped?
That one's not actually, that one sounds a little bit more natural.
Hello, my name is Daniel and I'm calling about my air fryer recall. Can you let me know when a new fryer will be shipped?
That last sentence wasn't horrible.
No, the last sentence was pretty good. Nice. You could do some speed adjustments on it. Like, I don't think that I have that many spaces between the words that I speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, take out some of that, I think. Why would you have to air fry? Isn't it already cooked? Oh my God. Kathy Marshall.
Air already cooked is what she's saying.
No. The French fries. All right. First of all, let's all agree that French fries are an enigma.
They need to be crispy and...
They only exist in a perfect state for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
After that, they go bad. And of course, dipping them back in grease again is just going to make them hideous. But an air fryer brings... Hello, Auntie Scott.
Hi, how are you?
Can I say something?
No.
Oh,
of course you can say something. First of all, I have to get rid of the Discord sound because you know why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's what I'd like to say to you, Auntie Scott.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you,
Mr. President.
Happy birthday, obey all traffic laws, to you. Wow. Happy birthday, Auntie Scott. Happy birthday to you.
That was one of the loveliest renditions I've ever heard of that song. Daniel, thank you very kindly.
Wow, Those are loud, Adam.
Is it?
Those are very loud, yes.
Wait, hello, thank you, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you have big plans for your birthday?
No. Just I'm going to eat from morning until night because you can tell the results.
No, I'm saying that's a plan.
Intermittent fast. And so I don't eat during the day at all. I eat from 6:30 and then nothing after 10:30. So I have a 4-hour window.
4 hours.
And so I don't eat during the day at all. And that on my birthday, I'm going to start very early.
It is a scientific fact.
Yes.
That calories do not count on your birthday. On the anniversary of your birth, calories do not count.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
And so it must be true. It must be true if mm-hmm. you've heard it from multiple sources. This is what we call fact checking, right? You've heard it from multiple different sources, so you can rest assured that it is true.
Yeah. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Does the intermittent fasting work in your experience?
It's very good for your organs. It's very good for a lot of things. Here's the thing. I have a 4-hour window where I eat, but I don't eat like healthy, normal. I start eating at 6:30 and I don't stop. Like I just finished.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say for me, and I don't know, you mentioned it doesn't show or whatever. So I assumed that maybe you were doing it to lose weight or whatever, because you made a comment. So, and I always associate things with losing weight. So maybe you're not trying to do that, but I feel like for weight loss, and that's what I mean, I would just, all those calories that I was going to be eating that other time would get shoved into that small window. I would just be.
Well, a couple of things happen. You're going to get full and not be able to eat in that window. Yeah. As opposed to if you are spreading your meals out for the entire day, you can eat a huge breakfast, a huge lunch, and a huge dinner. But if you've got a 4-hour window where you're eating, after you're halfway through your second huge meal, you're going to be full.
All right.
I can eat a lot.
Clearly, we know who here is not a bottom because I disagree. You can absolutely.
What? What does being a bottom have
Did
to
I
do
leave
with
and come back?
No, being a bottom have to do with it? It has to, right.
Able to eat a lot in a 4-hour window?
Yes, because you, as a bottom, you have a very limited amount of time that you can eat because you can't be indisposed at the time that you're getting the attention. So you can't set things into motion that might ruin an otherwise fun experience. So therefore,
if you were not an unnatural freak homosexual, you wouldn't have to worry about stuff like that. If you did it naturally, women the way you're supposed to.
Right, the way that the Invisible Sky Wizard says.
Or you could just use a douche thing.
Who are you calling a douche?
You could, right.
I do use a douche, but you know, that's not the end all be all. Like your body is still, just because you've cleaned out what's there doesn't mean that your body's not still producing more you ate. Oh my God. What are you doing, Auntie Scott? You're praying to.
How did we end up here?
Because
it was Daniel.
Yeah, it was me.
It went from intermittent fasting to butt fucking. Without, it's like there was nothing in between. I don't even know how the road led there.
Did he spit? Did stuff spew out? What's for dinner?
I had to swallow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's that. You're back again with sex. We had lamb sandwiches. Lamb meatball sandwiches were incredibly delicious.
Oh, they cool. sound good.
With pesto and feta cheese. And
we had tacos.
Ooh, that sounds good. We had pork chops.
It's going to lead to sex again, isn't it?
No, we had pork chops. Okay. Pork chops over an herbed ricotta with a fig sauce on top of the pork, and then served with a broccoli and cabbage bake.
It was like one of those fresh box things.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, it totally was. But no, it was. But well, the fig. The yeah, the fig was really good. No, I mean, it's the Hello Fresh, but it's not Hello, it's Green Chef, but it's a meal delivery. Like, we have our meals delivered every week, and then they give us the raw ingredients and tell us how to make it, right? They give us a recipe. And so they're
that's
like,
one level down from having the chef come over.
Several, it's several layers down, several steps down from that. But you know what is nice? And I didn't, it's just an unexpected side effect of this that I never had thought of before. We don't have to worry about leftovers. It's like, we don't have like all kind of Tupperware things in our refrigerator that have been sitting there for 6 months because we made taco salad and we kept the olives. You know what I'm saying? It was like, we don't have like a whole litany of things that are going bad in our refrigerator. And I find that just somehow freeing. I don't know.
It is a bit of a job trying to figure out how to use everything before it goes bad. Cause it's hard to buy exactly the right amount of what you need.
You know,
and so you'll always have some stuff left. And then
yep. You know, who can
if
help?
I can
go ahead.
Briefly address something that you spoke about on the show. Talking about the fact that neither one of you know what anything costs,
yes,
is one of the most elitist, ridiculous, horrific 1% bullshit that I have ever fucking heard in my life. I just wanted to get that out there.
I don't know.
And I'm not doing Southern, you notice, Adam. I'm not going to do Southern.
Okay, good.
I'm going to do,
I don't know how much anything costs. I just throw it in the cart and I get what I need. And then I know what I spent on a whole, I mean, everything. But I don't know. Individually, I just throw it in my cart and leave.
Now, in fairness.
No, there's no fairness to that elitist.
Well, no. It isn't. I fully recognize that it's the latest, but I was going to say, in fairness, how much does a gallon of milk cost, Scott?
I don't know, because I just throw it in the cart and I get...
Look, it's honesty. No, you know, I'm just being honest.
Why I wouldn't know is because we get everything delivered, and on Thursday nights... Yeah. We go shopping together. We need this, we need that, we need that. But Drew is the one on the website, so Drew is the one who's seeing the right prices.
Exactly.
He could tell you to the penny what everything costs. I, however, am sitting over on my side of the office on my computer watching people fall down on TikTok, and he's doing the ordering.
Have you seen this Cupid? Is the Cupid dance on your timeline as much as it is on mine? Like, I gave a second shot to Cupid.
I don't really watch TikTok, but I watch YouTube Shorts and I watch Facebook Shorts. So I see a
UHT full fat milk house is $7.50 per half gallon at the convenience store.
Well, you don't want to go to a convenience. Oh, you would. But normal people that have to worry about what they're spending,
I wouldn't
don't
go to
that. Convenience. That's like,
first of all, the milk's probably not going to be good at a gas station. Is that what we're talking about?
That's like a gas station? Because at a gas station. Yes, especially because they keep the crates of it in the men's room before they bring it out of the shelves.
Because I'm not going to.
$7.50? Is gas really? I mean, is milk really $7.50 a half gallon? Oh, yeah, she's in San Francisco. All right. Kathy Marshall's in San Francisco, though, so that's...
I mean, I can tell you what milk it... Let me just look here. Here, and I can't tell you what... Well, I could. I mean,
here.
I could... But right now,
here's a YouTube short for you, Auntie Scott. But normally, he would tell, well, I don't have to listen to their show because I heard it live, but he, like, missed half the show. So now, by putting stuff about him at the end of the show... I've ensured that, yeah, of course he's going to fall asleep. Of course he's 57. Yeah, see, there's a YouTube chart. It's only 41 seconds long, but it feels
whole,
like 6.5 minutes.
Whole milk, great value, whole milk, vitamin D milk.
Uh-huh, great value.
Uh-huh, $3.22 for a gallon.
$3.22, and it was only $1 a gallon back in 1950. You know,
now that's the store brand. So if you go with a fancier brand, Highland whole vitamin D milk, $6.56 for a gallon. So,
I recognized our whole conversation was very privileged. And it's okay. But I didn't. I mean, at that point, we were so far into it. I didn't know what to do with it.
Well, it had already gone into the weeds when Adam talked about the fact that over 22 grand goes into his whatever every anyway or every. And there, you know, the majority of people out there, that's their yearly salary if they're lucky.
I think it's higher than 22 grand now. Let's see. What's the median?
The average is around 58 or 60,000, something like that.
Oh, so the half of it would go into there.
Salary in the U.S. Average salary in the U.S. No, you're wrong, Adam. It's lower than that. 36.7. So 36,712 is the median.
See, I saw in a Yahoo Finance article.
That goes into my IRA or my 401k or my LOVE every week.
Okay, in my defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my defense.
Please don't feel like I'm attacking you, Adam.
It's fine. In my defense, I did not call out a number at all.
Okay, stop.
Someone in the chat room did. Yeah.
I was wrong. That was for kids age 20.
That was 1957.
It absolutely fucking kills me when Dan goes, I was wrong.
I was wrong.
He does it to you a lot, Adam.
The average... The average salary in California is $61,290, and in Delaware is $54,000. So you were closer, actually, Adam. It's $54,000 is the lowest average that I see on here, the average salary. The median, however, okay, is like $65,000.
Yeah, yeah. I was right, though. I do put more than $22,000.
Into
good for you.
For now, I don't know. You
I think
know what?
That's a responsible thing.
I don't.
But I understand what you're saying. I
read a thing the other day that scared me because it says like you're supposed to, by
but
age,
I do feel like I was honest when I was poor, and now I've been honest my entire life. I've just always talked about it, so it's not honest. Bragging. Well, I mean, I've always talked about like how much I make or
never, ever, ever have I felt that you were bragging.
Yeah. But I see how it comes across.
If we're going to be serious for a moment,
yeah,
what I do feel is that you've gotten to a place where the norm for you, the normal for you, is very abnormal for the majority of people. And
oh, that could be.
And so in yeah. speaking just. Just speaking about what your truth is, mm-hmm. you lost the realization that that is so far from the truth for most people that it sounds like you're an elitist fool, and I know you're not, but it that's what it sounds like, and all
so
it
you're
is.
You're saying I need to spend some time with the little people.
No,
from time to time.
Yes,
but I feel like
if you dress like them. You need to dress like them and go out amongst them.
But I feel like that's where the stereotype of the elite gay couple comes from, is the fact that when you get right down to it, we, you know, Zach and I make close to the same salary and we have no kids and, you know, either one of us could live here on our own. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so from that standpoint, yeah, we could have kids and things that would make that salary much less, like you know what I'm saying, effectively, that we would worry about groceries. But where we are in our life with no kids and just both of us working, yeah, okay, well, groceries, we don't worry a lot about.
As my mom would tell me, I'm blessed.
You are blessed, but also you don't have, you know,
we all know how wise your mom is.
You're determined to get me to like spit this on like some electronic device.
And did it turn out to be your fault earlier when the things were going to shit sound wise, Daniel?
You know, no,
yeah.
it was my mixer.
It was
my mixer.
Oh, so it was on your end.
It was my ass.
Perfect audio's
it's
end.
On my ass. Do you remember, okay. You don't remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or that just wasn't one of your first memories?
I never saw that film in the theater ever.
I did. It was at a drive-in though. And I feel like, you know, cause I would have only been a year when it came out. So, I mean, this was obviously, you know, on one of those double features where they,
I the movies that I recall seeing the youngest are not children's movies, because I used to go to the drive-in with my mother and father as a family.
What is it? What is the earliest movie that you remember?
Well, you know, one of the earliest, you two are not going to know this film. And the fact that you didn't know Lunt and Fontaine, just, I just wanted to fucking put a gun up my nose and pull the trigger, but I thought I would rather have that on video. One of the first movies I saw was a movie called Two Women with Sophia Loren, where she and her daughter are in war-torn Italy, and they both get raped. And it's a horrible, just a horrible, monstrous scene. And I was a little kid in the back seat in my pajamas after, you know, going to the... Do you two ever go to a drive-in movie?
I have been to it, yeah.
During the...
As a child or as an adult?
Both.
Both.
Did you guys have the little merry-go-rounds and little tiny sand play pits and right below the screen? You wouldn't, because there's snow where you grew up, right? And during the, or I don't know, maybe
he's
weather.
He's in Arkansas. Yeah, he is.
No, snow.
You know what? Here's the thing, Scott. There could have very well been a playground and a sandbox up near the screen, but as a kid, I wasn't allowed out of the car, so I wouldn't have known. Yeah.
Well, Daniel had it. They had their own section with like wait staff, and
that's right.
They weren't. You know, so under the screen.
What you're saying?
The snack bar came to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this film that came out when you were three? Directed by Vittorio De Sica. De Sica?
3 years old. I saw that movie when I was three.
It came out in 1960.
No, I was four, which isn't much better. Okay. But I was four, yeah. And I remember it clearly at 4 years old. So that's how young, that's how much my memory goes back to. I remember seeing...
They flee Rome to escape the horrors of the war, seeking refuge in the rural village of Sisera's birthplace in the Sicciocara region.
I don't remember the plot. I just remember I was 4 years old, Daniel. I could go into the directorial merits of it.
Oh, mother! Oh, mother! I love the part where they went to the rural.
I think the cinematographer had an image that so few have today, Mother. The extreme close-ups, the two shots, the
depiction of the rural village was so realistic.
The director of photography obviously knew his stuff, Mumsy. Yes. So, I remember going to the drive-in as a kid. And then Mary Poppins was a huge thing. It was a big surprise, and we went to the Grauman's Chinese Theater to see Mary Poppins.
We went to the Grauman's Chinese Theater when Adam was here. That is the building that you went in, Adam, where we rode the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That is the Grauman's Chinese Theater.
But it's not the actual one.
It is a faithful replica of the one in Hollywood.
I've been to the real one as well, but I've never been inside the real one, actually.
Kathy Marshall saw Mary Poppins at the Grauman's also.
I can't see the chat room. I can only see the three of us.
I'm sorry.
So hi, Kathy. Kathy and I have a wonderful time in the chat room almost every Friday. We chat, we have fun. We tend to ignore you too, because
yes.
You know.
Yes, you do.
There's only so much that we can take of the. Adam's doing something special down there.
Oh, I think.
I ignore as well. I was going, but it's not the. I can't.
Do you see my lovely medal, my Monsters, Inc. door medal?
Congratulations on your successful completion of the Monsters 10K.
And you open it up, and there's Sully and Mike Wazowski. Thank you.
That's a wonderful thing.
It was such a fun race. I'm looking forward to doing our Wine and Dine weekend and the marathon weekend. I don't know. It's just... The energy, everyone out there was just so happy to be there. You know what I'm saying? It was, which I also realize is another very elite thing, right? It's expensive to run these races. Like it was like $130 to run the 10K. So it's not like you're going to have like every person in the world out there, and there's only 10,000 spots or whatever. But the, yeah, I feel like that's also very elite. So I guess I'm just turning into that guy, Andy Scott.
Well, I don't think that talking about that stuff is elitist. That's just...
Do you know that song? Do you know that song that has Selena? You remember Selena Gomez? She is the from the show you like.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yes, she is from that show.
Yes,
and
yep. Adam, I would rather see your face, darling. I don't get a chance to. There we go.
Here is there's this song by an artist named Rima, who has Selena Gomez in it. And this song has been all over TikTok and YouTube shorts. I just want to know, A, if you've heard this song, and B, what your reaction is to it. So here's the... Does this sound familiar to like watching a YouTube short? Like you hear this guitar piece? No? You don't remember? Baby, calm down. Yo, this your body, it puts in my heart for lockdown, oh lockdown. Yo, you sweet life, phantom. Okay, so Selena Gomez is in the song somewhere. But this is the thing that drives me nuts about this song, is this part just coming up. It's like a chorus warming up and doing vocal exercises or something, right? He's like, oh, whoa, 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 low, bo. This song is everywhere. And so I realize the fact that I have now turned into that cranky old man, that when I hear that, it's like, you young kids don't know what music is. You don't understand.
I think that turning into a cranky old man is really a misconception. I believe that what happens is we realize as we get older just how much there is to be cranky about. And you don't really become a cranky old man. You just, your eyes are opened to...
Well, it's wisdom. It's really wisdom. That's what you're saying.
It is wisdom. Excuse me. I have to cough a lung. Terribly sorry.
No, it's fine. We're so glad that you were healthy enough to make it here to this evening.
It's barely.
Tell us more about your disease,
COVID.
What research is being done to help future generations that suffer from scotomia?
Mm-hmm, well, I was losing my eyesight for a while, but it came back. I won't go into that at all.
I did go into it.
I know. I was just... I'm poking at you, Daniel.
I mean, we were about to need to get him a seeing eye dog like Jay has.
I know. And it's like, and now that fucking retinal specialist won't keep contacting me to have a follow-up. I'm like, I clearly don't have a retinal problem. It was the syphilis. I'm done. I don't need to go back to you. Why do I need to pay you another $300? Well,
maybe now that he knows you're clean, he wants to, get a little...
Yeah, exactly. Get a little bit.
Get a little of that flushed out bottom. See, now I get it.
He knows. You know how to eat at the right time.
Intermittent fasting. Yeah.
So let's say you were going to partake. Oh, you were going to partake in some carnal activities.
Let's say around
10 p.m. Like you're gonna partake in some
first of all, nothing is happening at 10 p.m. So you have to move it up some. It has to be like 11:30.
Okay, 11:30. You're expecting some carnal activity.
So that means that the time that I would stop eating would be like about 5 p.m. So I would not eat anything after 5. I would have a light dinner. And have it done like at a drive-thru, whatever, by 5 p.m. In time for us to show up to camp. And then at, like probably 9:30 or 10, then I would do the cleaning out then.
So you have to make sure you poo as well.
Yeah, before. That's what I'm saying. Well, I would do the enema stuff then at like 9.
No, but you have to actually like poo. Do you need to poo first and then do the?
I do both, Adam.
I just want to know, like, what both. The... It sounds so complicated.
It is. It's a very complicated thing.
You practically need to ask ChatGPT.
Uh-huh.
Like, what things do I need to do to prepare? What time do I need to stop eating?
Exactly. But, I feel like that is...
Bread. Like, what...
All right, I'm so sorry, Auntie Scott.
Corn is always actually the best thing to eat right before.
hey, you son of a bitch. I got a kernel of corn in my dick hole. I done pulled out. I got a kernel of corn in my dick hole. You son of a bitch.
It's funny how your face changes as well.
Yeah.
Oh, he would refuse to do Conscious's voice. While anywhere where I could see his face, he would like put a pillow up over his face on the couch so that I couldn't see the face that he made when he did Conscience.
Because I don't do him. he is an entity unto himself.
He's a pillow.
He is a pillow. I'm going to show you something, boys, and then I'm going to leave you. But I want to show you something that I created.
Yes.
And I'm going to show you. Because it's Haunted Mansion-esque.
Ooh, Haunted Mansion-esque. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold, please.
I'm holding. You know, Adam and I went to the Haunted Mansion together. Twice. Twice in one day. Yeah, we did the Haunted Mansion twice.
Because we rode it with just you, me, and Zach, and I had to ride by myself.
And then we rode it with...
And then we rode again with Mark.
Right.
Yeah.
Alexa, turn up dim lights.
Dim lights? Okay. Alexa, turn off dim lights.
Then, first of all, it's so bright.
Okay.
It's the head. Did you make it?
This is the glowing now.
Oh, wait. No, it's not the head.
It's Madame Leota's.
That's her parlor, but wait until I show you what's behind this mirror as soon as I can find the goddamn button.
Okay. Oh.
So now we see reflection in the mirror. Yes.
It's hard to show.
It is.
Is it a Pepper's Ghost sort of thing?
It's... you can't see it at all. Okay, no. I'm not going to show you. I'm just going to leave. Oh, it's not on.
It was not on. Well, that's your problem right there. It's you don't have the thing on.
Within the... Behind the mirror...
Are the pictures and stuff on the
yeah,
wall.
You can't yeah. And a couch and shit.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't like doing that anyway, so I'm not.
But it looks cool. You just need to find a way
It does. It looks cool.
To film.
Show it on camera.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Good night.
I love you
Scott.
Both dearly.
Happy birthday.
Good night.
Thank you very much. And good night to Kathy Marshall and everybody in chat. I'm gonna go watch a movie with my husband.
Okay. Enjoy your Charlie Chan movie.
Bye, Bonds.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hooray for Hollywood. It's something to Bollywood. When Scooby-Dooby-Dooby. I don't know.
Scooby-Doo.
So we're eating at three different restaurants for Zach's birthday trip. Than the ones we took you to. So I think we're eating at Toledo, which is a Spanish tapas restaurant on top of the tower at Grand Destino, which is at the hotel that we're staying at. And then we're eating at the Flying Fish, which is on the boardwalk, which we never made it to the boardwalk, but is back behind Epcot. I ran past it, but, you know. It's the Boardwalk Hotel. Anyway, they have a restaurant there called Flying Fish that we haven't eaten at since before the pandemic, which is really good. You would hate it because it's seafood. But one of the best chili and sea basses I've ever had, Flying Fish.
I mean, shall I remind everyone, I had mussels.
That's true. You had mussels. But then
shrimp, octopus.
But then you got old and you lost them.
Raw salmon.
Ooh. Raw dogging a salmon.
Roe.
Anyway, so we're eating at Flying Fish, and then the third restaurant that we're eating at is completely escaping me at the moment. What is the third restaurant? One moment, please. Shit, where are we eating? Oh, Jiko. Oh, we're eating at Jiko, which is over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Jiko is one of those restaurants that it's considered a signature restaurant, so it's considered, you know, one of the more expensive restaurants, but it's the lowest price of the signature restaurants. But the entire restaurant itself makes you feel like you're paying a lot more because you have like monogrammed napkins, like the napkins have the logo and stuff like monogrammed on them. If you go into the bathroom, there's like warm towels to rinse your hand, to dry your hands instead of...
They have a guy there to wipe your ass for you.
No, that's optional. But there's
there's a restaurant I kind of want to eat at in London, but I don't know if I'm going to like the food.
Because it's Spotted Dick?
But we watch Top Chef and we also watch MasterChef Australia. This lady has been a judge or a guest on both of those shows. And her restaurant in London is 3 Michelin star. I don't even know if I've ever eaten at a 3 Michelin star restaurant before.
How many of them are there?
The menu doesn't, I don't know. But the menu doesn't, so Isle of Harris scallop tartare with a sea vegetable consomme.
Ooh.
Potato and roe. Dulce beurre blanc, herring and trout roe.
Ooh.
Roasted cod, Morecambe bay shrimps, Swiss chard, and brown butter. Lamb carrot, braised lamb, sheep's milk yogurt, beef and oyster, Highland Wagyu beef, and Port Hilly oysters. And they have kind of apple. It's a tasting menu.
Yeah, that's all like seafood.
But it's a 3 Michelin star restaurant. And, you know, I like to be able to say I've done things as well, right?
I know, but let me tell you, everything you said sounded great.
They also have a chef's table, though. That might be interesting. But, of course, that's going to be a lot of seafood as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it's
all fancy food have to be seafood?
Do you want to know?
No. Yes, I do want to know.
I don't know the exact answer. Because I am not an expert on these things, Adam. But if I were to guess, I would say that the food tastes better the fresher that it is. And unless you're in a place where you can get freshly butchered meat or things like that, you know, it's difficult to do beef and pork that have been like slaughtered that day, right? Whereas having seafood brought in is something you can do a catch of the day. You can do very fresh seafood, like seafood that was caught in the ocean hours before. So I feel like maybe that's why there's a lot of seafood restaurants, because it's delicious.
Your
average, you know, McDonald's seafood is not as good as these, you know, high-end seafood restaurants. Go ahead.
More items. Oh, here. That was the tasting menu. Here's their core seasons.
Oh, this is the core seasons.
They have langoustine and wasabi pea with rose, geranium, and almond. They have braised morel with confit and smoked duck, wild garlic, and chaga broth.
Well, that's mushrooms and chicken, yeah.
And duck. There's Cornish turbo, grilled mussels, leeks, fennel, and pepper dulce.
Well, then why did you let me go on and on about it being all seafood? Because now you're telling me all things that are not seafood.
There's a Norfolk purple top turnip with walnut, brassica leaves, and nutmeg.
Adam, how much does this cost? How much does this restaurant cost?
I don't want to say because Auntie Scott just said earlier that
I sounded elitist. He's already muted. He's muted in the Discord channel.
Well, I mean, it depends, but maybe all of them are tasting menus. I don't really know. It's £225.
What is that in real money?
Let me see, 225 British pounds to USD currently is $284.
Okay.
And if you want to do the wine pairing, which we would, it's another £135. The classic tasting menu is $205 with a 135 wine pairing. They also have a la carte.
Yeah, so then do that. So why would, if you had the choice, if you had the chance to eat at a Michelin three-star restaurant, so that you would know, I'm assuming there are no Michelin three-star restaurants in Arkansas.
I don't think so. We are going to eat there. I'm just waiting. I have to make reservations, but I'm worried I might not enjoy the food.
No, but you know what? I feel like that's the challenge then, right? It's like, what makes this three-star so much better than the one-star that I've eaten at before? Like, what is it?
Right.
What gives it those extra 2 stars? And like, let's say a really solid, good restaurant, you know, like Yachtsman Steakhouse or something, doesn't have a Michelin star. Like, you know, like what level do you have to be to get that 1 star versus what's the difference between a 1 and a 2? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the, sounds good. You know, I never asked you, because we got sidetracked on the whole Survivor thing. Who were you rooting for out of the ones that are left? Who are you?
You did ask me, and I think we got sidetracked.
Yeah, we got sidetracked. Who are you rooting for?
I like the cute guy, I think.
There's three. There's Danny, there's Jam Jam, and there's Carson. Which one?
Well, I don't think Jam Jam's cute, but Carson.
Okay, Carson.
Yeah. The one we've already talked about, the one that you think is so cute because he wears glasses.
Yeah, he is. He's cute. And actually Jam Jam was wearing glasses this week in one of the challenges.
Yeah. So probably Carson.
Kathy Marshall. It's spelled Y-A-M. Y-A-M.
Yeah, come on.
It's called...
Please.
Spelled Y-A-M, Y-A-M, but it's pronounced Jam Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, us international travelers, like Adam and myself. Where is he from? I think he's just from Puerto Rico, honestly.
I'm not sure where he's from.
It's Jam Jam. Anyway, and he's the worst gay. He's the worst gay because he voted out the other gay guy on the island early on, and he is such a fucking diva. Oh, my God. It's like... Jam Jam would be one of those people that at like a meet and greet, I'd be trying to get away from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, this is a, he's like the buoy. He's like the Joey Boohacker of the remaining survivors. Just mean. He's just mean.
Yeah.
I think that I am, if I'm honest with myself, I'm rooting for Catherine to win.
I'm trying to remember who Catherine is.
Isn't she the crazy one?
Carolyn.
If I'm honest with myself, I want Carolyn to win.
She squeals in every competition, yes. Like a 4-year-old yes. Girl.
Yes.
I don't, not like a 50-year-old woman or however old she is, like a 4-year-old girl.
I feel like that a lot of that has to do with all the years that she, you know, was a druggie and stuff. Like, she's a drug counselor. She's a reformed, you know, she's a recovered addict. She's seen some stuff, but she's right on, man. They need to get Danny out, and she needs to, you know, that whole thing is just like, Danny is just, you know, a danger here, not Franny. Anyway, my point is, what was my point? Oh, if I'm honest with myself, I want Carolyn to win. However, I feel like, you know, I want Carson to win because he's cute. But I would be happy with Carolyn or Carson winning. I think I would be unhappy if Danny won. Yeah, I feel like if Danny won, I would be unhappy because he's just such a straight dude, such a Republican straight dude.
I mean, I really don't. He hasn't annoyed me too much, but he does seem to be trying to run the show or something like that. Let's see what you say here.
Danny is a danger here, not Franny. If I'm honest with myself, I want Franny to win, but I would be happy with Carolyn or Carson winning. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you enjoying your little foray
I'm going to put in a couple of more hours of your voice in there. Get it even better.
Yeah, with, you know what?
I can.
Then we don't have to take next week off. You can just program.
I know.
Yeah, you can just give me a script.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Just
have if I did the whole episode with you, like, robot Daniel.
Mm-hmm. For, oh, that would be entertaining for an hour and a half.
No, yeah.
Not. I got raked through the coals on the little fat person cast. The I'm trying to find the email. I'm not spazzing out here. I'm just trying to find the email. Oh, that's why I never see the emails, because it goes into this email address. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Where are you? Where is Larry Vader's email? There it is. Oh yeah, no, he hasn't replied yet. So I, you know, I heard on the Little Fatty Cast several weeks ago that Larry Vader was going to be going to Gay Days at Disney, and as it so happens, we're going to one of the Gay Day parties at Disney at Typhoon Lagoon one night. But that's the only thing we're doing. We're not actually like participating in the rest of the Gay Day stuff. And so I emailed him and I was like, hey, we're going to go to the Typhoon Lagoon party. Are you guys going to that? And then he sends me back a thing, you know, going like, no, I'm not going to go because it's not cool. And, you know, but if you guys want to get together, you can let me know, whatever. So that was the email, right? But then when I'm listening to the podcast, he's saying, oh yeah, Daniel emailed me like the 55 things he was doing during the Gay Days weekend to see if we could match up with any of his schedules. And I was just like, 55? We're not even going. We're just going to this Typhoon Lagoon party. That's it. That's all. And it's like 55.
That's not really raking you over the coals.
Raking me over the coals. Impugning my character, Adam. Making it seem like we just send people like, yo, here's the 55 things. Here's exactly where we're going to be for the entire weekend. Let me know if we can cross paths with you at any of these times.
Kind of like Pod is my co-pilot.
Oh.
By the way, breaking news, everyone.
Yeah.
Call Me Cat was canceled after 3 seasons at Fox.
I don't know what Call Me Cat was.
It's a Maya Bialik show on Fox. What's his name? Jordan Randall, Randy Jordan? No. Jordan, the guy, short gay guy died short. Recently.
Short. Oh, Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan. He was on it. Oh. He was on it.
And now it's
Maya Bialik, and it has been canceled.
Canceled.
Yep, they said, we love Call Me Cat, but unfortunately it did not receive the audience response that we were hoping.
Well, I feel like, you know, everybody's gone to bed. So,
well, it's about that time.
So I guess I'll say good night. Good night, chat room. Enjoy your company. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. So not next week. We won't be here next week, but we'll be here 2 weeks.
Yeah. Or it'll be Adam and AI Daniel.